The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The peaceful transition of power is one of the hallmarks of our democracy. And over the next few months, we are going to show that to the world.
My number one priority in the coming 2 months is to try to facilitate a transition that ensures our president-elect is successful.
Part of that is also facilitating a decent transition so that the American people are as well-served as they can be with the incoming administration.
But I do feel a responsibility as President of the United States to make sure that I facilitate a good transition. And
democracy depends on a peaceful transition of power, especially when you don't get the results you want. The outcomes of elections don't always turn out the way you would hope. And then we're going through that in the United States, and I'm doing everything I can to help facilitate a successful transition with the president-elect.
We've got to make sure that during this transition period, that there is a seamless passing of the baton.
In 10 days, the world will witness a hallmark of our democracy. No. The peaceful transfer of power from one freely elected president to the next. I committed to President-elect Trump that my administration would ensure the smoothest possible transition, just as President Bush did for me.
This time, I'd like our witness to stand and raise your right hand, please. I do solemnly swear and affirm that the testimony you will give this committee will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Well, thank you, Mr. Brennan.
But was there intelligence that said that the Trump campaign was colluding with Moscow during their campaign?
There was intelligence that the Russian intelligence services were actively involved in this effort. And having been involved in many counterintelligence cases in the past, I know what the Russians try to do. They try to suborn individuals, and they try to get individuals, including U.S. persons, to act on their behalf, either wittingly or unwittingly. And I was worried by a number of the contacts that the Russians had with U.S. persons. And so therefore, by the time I left office on January 20th, I had unresolved questions in my mind as to whether or not the Russians had been successful in getting U.S. persons involved in the campaign or not to work on their behalf, again, either in a witting or unwitting fashion. And so, therefore, I felt as though the FBI investigation was well-founded and needed to look into those issues.
All you have right now is a circumstantial case.
Actually, no, Chuck. I can tell you that the case is more than that, and I can't go into the particulars, but there is more than circumstantial evidence now. So, again, I think...
So you have seen direct evidence of collusion?
I don't want to go into specifics, but I will say that there is evidence that is not circumstantial and is very much worthy of investigation. So
there has been a report from CNN that Wednesday night that the FBI was looking into collusion with the Russians in the Trump campaign in terms of spreading information about Hillary Clinton's campaign. Do you have any information to back that up?
I'm not sure that I can comment on that. I can say that I think that the investigation that the director talked about at our Monday hearing is justified. I think there is a sufficient basis for that investigation, not only to have been initiated, but for it to continue at this point. And I don't have a concern with other members characterizing the evidence as they have. And many of them have said they think there's no evidence of collusion. My disagreement with those members is I don't think that's accurate.
Okay.
And I feel an obligation to say so.
So they can call it a fishing expedition. They can call it a witch hunt. It's all an aligned message with the White House. But nonetheless, real evidence is coming forward that just can't be ignored.
So we do know a lot more. I think the claims that there was no evidence of collusion have long since fallen away.
The question now is, what is the quantum of proof here?
Christopher Steele may have found out, even before our own intelligence agencies, that the Russians were in fact aiming to help Donald Trump in the election. That has now been borne out by ample evidence.
I think you see the most palpable evidence of a collusion in terms of violating the Logan Act.
Look, I don't think you can seriously argue that the Russians weren't trying to help Trump and hurt Clinton, as well as sow discord in the United States. The evidence is quite overwhelming on this. It was the early conclusion of the intelligence community, but that's only been furthered by all of the evidence we've seen in our investigation. And
put out a statement and a report basically saying that they found no evidence of collusion between the Trump team and the Russian government. Have Democrats found any evidence of collusion?
Yes, we have.
Can you agree that there has been no evidence of collusion, coordination, or conspiracy that has been presented thus far between the Trump campaign and Russia?
No, I don't agree with that at all. I think there's plenty of evidence of collusion or conspiracy in plain sight. That it is very possible that the best evidence is yet to come. But look, you can see evidence in plain sight on the issue of collusion. George, there's ample evidence of collusion of the campaign and its...
The Senate Intel Chairman also said at this point, no evidence of collusion at this point. Have you seen, do you have direct evidence of collusion with Russia?
Well, I think there is direct evidence. While there is abundant evidence of collusion, but as I've said along, there's plenty of evidence of collusion.
And you've said on this show and others that there is direct evidence of collusion. Were you wrong about that now that you've seen the summary of the Tesla Council's report?
No, because they were saying no collusion.
Well, what's your evidence?
Just wrong.
You've been saying that on TV
yes.
for years.
Well, I will tell you, and I've also been saying, as you know, that the evidence is in plain sight.
There never was any evidence... That was made clear yesterday with John Durham's report. No evidence at all to justify starting Crossfire Hurricane. And yet there are the communists from top to bottom, the dear leader, talking nonstop about a peaceful transition and that we've got to make it so to preserve democracy. And yet they continued peddling the lie that Donald Trump was compromised, that he was some kind of a Russian agent. They continued this, as you see there from the Schiff montage, they continued with this lie for years. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. As you can imagine, we've got quite a lot to get to on today's show. You can get to the live stream of this show through our website, trumpetdaily.com, of course. You can also go over to our Rumble channel. Just search for the Trumpet Daily there. We're seeing some good numbers on Rumble, as I explained to you yesterday. So whether it's our website or Rumble, any way that you can get to it, of course, you can watch it after the fact at both of those sites as well. So the Durham Report, it comes out yesterday, and I understand there's frustration on the conservative side. I understand that to some degree, even the communists that are saying there's not a lot of new information in here. There is some, though, some important information. We'll get to it in just a second. But you can certainly see the frustration on the side of the conservatives that say, okay, there it is, all laid out there. I mean, the full weight of the government was weaponized against Donald Trump. And it's laid out in every detail in the Durham Report. So there is something to be said for that. It's all the criminal activity. Now, as to the indictments and why you would try with the two indictments to go into a D.C. court to get a conviction is beyond me. In any event, though, the criminals are exposed, the dear leader himself in particular. Now, again, it wasn't a full frontal assault coming from John Durham. The attack on, or rather, implicating Barack Obama. It was done rather obliquely. Some would say cryptically. But it was done. And then you have some commentators like Jesse Waters and others that really did let it, I mean, they let it fly last night. This is on Obama. Obama, he knew this whole hoax was concocted by the Hillary campaign. He took it and Brennan and ran with it. You notice the timestamp there for Brennan. He's testifying under oath on May 23rd, 2017. He's testifying under oath. He was out of office as soon as Donald Trump was inaugurated, January 20th.
And there he is testifying, saying, yeah, yeah, we had evidence. Yeah, and this is a legitimate investigation. Let me quote from Durham. It says here, FBI records prepared by Peter Strzok in February and March of 2017. So right around the time that Brennan's there testifying under oath, he's been out of office for months. It says they show that at the time of the opening of Crossfire Hurricane, the FBI had no information in its holdings indicating that at any time during the campaign, anyone in the Trump administration had been in contact with any Russian intelligence officials. They had nothing. And even Peter Strzok said so. There's nothing to this. This is from the report as well. Neither U.S. law enforcement nor the intelligence community appears to have possessed any actual evidence of collusion in their holdings at the commencement of Crossfire Hurricane investigation. So you have to keep coming back to the fact that this was not just, you know, Jim Comey's agency, or this wasn't just John Brennan's CIA. This was Obama. This was Obama's Justice Department. This was Obama's FBI. And Brennan, for his part, he briefed Obama. What was it, the end of July? July 2016? And he says, yeah, the Hillary people, they're trying to come up with some dirt on Trump. They're going to tie him to Russia. They knew. They all knew it was a hoax. And yet what happened? The CIA director at the time, that's John Brennan, he briefed Obama and Obama's staff on the plot by Hillary Clinton to create this false narrative. So they all knew it was a hoax. And yet they continued with the lie for years and years and years. And yes, no one's really being held accountable. But then out comes Brennan, or out comes Durham's report yesterday. And as I say, I mean, you see Obama right at the center of it all, as he should be. That man is a professional liar, and so is John Brennan. So, obviously, Schiff. All of them. Listen to this montage from yesterday. I mean, even this is a stunning development, considering some of these talking heads that you'll see in the montage were the ones that were talking about the dossier as if it was going to bring down Donald Trump back in the early part of 2017. This is clip one.
But the bottom line is this. The investigation found that the FBI failed in many, many ways. And he says, based on the review of Crossfire Hurricane and related intelligence activities, we conclude that the department and the FBI failed to uphold their important mission of strict fidelity to the law in connection with certain events and activities described in this report.
Special Counsel John Durham says the FBI used unverified information when it opened the investigation into candidate Trump's alleged ties to Russia in 2016. Durham concludes senior FBI personnel displayed a serious lack of analytical rigor and relied on investigative leads provided or funded by Trump's political opponents. Durham found that investigators did not and could not corroborate any of the substantive allegations contained in the Steele reporting.
Regardless, the report is now here. It has dropped. And it might not have produced everything of what some Republicans hoped for. It is, regardless, devastating to the FBI, and to a degree, it does exonerate Donald Trump.
To a degree, he says. Of course, he hates Trump so much that even when he's completely exonerated, he's going to throw in to a degree. But even still, these are talking heads that are consuming a little bit of humble pie at the moment. You don't often see this. It's not like they're apologizing. They're not going to go that far. If I have time, I'll play the clips from January of 2017. Two of them, Jake Tapper, he was there with Jim Sciutto, Evan Perez, the other guy you just saw in the montage, and they were going through the dirty dossier, and James Clapper, he was the leaker. He was in on the meetings with Obama, January 5, January 6, they briefed the president, then Clapper leaks it to the media, the regime media. They were part of this echo chamber. That's how they corroborated their story, by all saying the same thing. And it was a big lie from the beginning. And that's now plainly obvious because of the Durham report. A big lie, a hoax. Everyone knows. Well, I say everyone. But as Devin Nunez pointed out yesterday, there still are some useful idiots out there that continue with this. The Russia collusion hoax. They're still convinced. They've consumed lies for years. I guess in one sense, you know, you can have a little sympathy for them. Because that, if all they're watching is Adam Schiff, it shows you how corrupt and how sick the head is, as Isaiah 1 brings out. It's a sickness from top to bottom. It's a full-on attack, spearheaded by Barack Hussein Obama. Now, if you want a full frontal attack on that communist attack, that's here in this book, America Under Attack. It all revolves around the Antiochus. It all revolves around Barack Obama. Clearly. So when Durham comes out with his report and that's in there, you know, that's a pretty significant development. That's a pretty big positive. For sure, people haven't been held to account. That's because those agencies are run by communists. And they're there, like Sundance brings out regularly, they're there to protect the administrative and the deep state. They protect their own. They cover up crimes. That's why Merrick Garland says to Congress, no, we're not going to show you a document that proves that Joe Biden had a bribery scheme in place. They just sit on it. They cover it up. Even as they go about trying to create a crime to bring down Donald Trump. Here is the real threat to democracy. Obama's out there saying, hey, it's got to be a peaceful transfer in order to preserve democracy. He was saying those things even as he was unleashing these investigations, the FISA applications, all of that was going on. I'll get into some of that history. It's not even that long ago. Fox News, it says, Durham finds DOJ, FBI failed to uphold the mission of strict fidelity to the law in the Trump-Russia probe. It quotes, well, I've given you some of these quotes already. Let me fast forward to page 81 of Durham's report. It says, according to his handwritten notes, CIA Director Brennan subsequently briefed President Obama and other senior national security officials on the intelligence, including the alleged approval by Hillary Clinton on July 26, 2016, of a proposal from one of her foreign policy advisors to vilify Donald Trump by stirring up a scandal claiming interference by Russian security services. So the DNC server had been hacked. Some of those emails made their way to WikiLeaks. You also had the scandalous activity of her setting up a server in her basement and this huge pay-to-play scheme, just like the Bidens do. She had that going on when she was Secretary of State. So all of those scandals were coming out and being exposed. And, well, she turned to the Russia collusion hoax to put the focus back on Donald Trump, the bad orange man. And then it was Obama and his people who took that narrative and ran with it with their illegal and treasonous spying on Donald Trump and all things Trump. And then the intelligence assessment at the end of 2016, discovering that, yeah, Russia did tamper with. They're all election deniers. They're the definition of election deniers. They are the threat to democracy. It's a campaign to vilify Donald Trump. And Brennan went to Obama, briefed him on that, and Obama's people, his staff, they all knew. That was July of 2016. Listen to Jesse Waters from his show last night, clip two.
The whole Trump-Russia collusion story was a giant hoax started by Democrats. The FBI knew it was a hoax, the CIA knew it was a hoax, and Barack Obama knew it was a hoax. Everybody knew it was a hoax the whole time, but they acted like it was real. The CIA knew Hillary started the Russia collusion story and then went in and told Barack Obama all about it, that she was trying to link Trump with Russia to distract from her email scandal.
This was an attempt to steal the election in 2016. They didn't quite pull it off. And here again, this is just another layer to the big lie narrative that these same actors have carried on with now for years. They're lying about the election as well, the 2020 election. If they would go to this length to try to undermine a Trump presidency and even steal it by connecting it to Russia somehow, you think they wouldn't do anything possible or even double down and try harder to steal 2020? They threw COVID into the mix that time around. A worldwide pandemic made by man, a man-made sickness and disease, came out of a lab that was funded by Fauci money. It's all coming together, isn't it? Page 84 of the Durham report. It says, on July 28, Director Brennan met with President Obama and other White House personnel, during which Brennan and the president discussed intelligence relevant to the 2016 presidential election, as well as the potential creation of an interagency fusion cell to synthesize and analyze intelligence about Russian malign influence on the 2016 presidential election. So you remember Obama just a few weeks before the election in 2016. He was there just assuring the American people, because they still thought Hillary would pull this off. He was there saying there's no way the election could be rigged. It's too decentralized and all those things. And they, even as they were behind the scenes unleashing the security state to look into this narrative, Russian meddling, yeah, we've got to have that as an insurance policy, as Peter Strzok said. It says here, Brennan's recollection was that he spoke with Director Comey on the morning of July 29 to brief him on his July 28 meeting with Obama. It says, immediately after communicating with the president, this is all from Durham's report, Comey and DNI Clapper to discuss relevant intelligence. Director Brennan and other agency officials took steps to ensure that dissemination of intelligence related to Russia's election interference efforts, including the Clinton plan intelligence, would be limited to protect sensitive information and prevent leaks. It says, Brennan stated that the interagency fusion cell, a team to synthesize and analyze pertinent intelligence on Russian malign influence activities related to the presidential election, was put in motion after his meeting with President Obama on July 28. Obama's the point man. Obama's the trigger here. Obama's the point of the spear. It says here, email traffic and witness interviews conducted by the office reflect that at least some CIA personnel believe that the Clinton plan intelligence led to the decision being made to set up the fusion cell. So Clinton maybe came up with the idea, but Obama's the one that had the power. He was the sitting president of the United States. Listen again to Jesse Waters from last night, clip 3.
So John Durham also found a few other funny little nuggets that squeaky clean James Comey couldn't wait to spy on the Trump campaign. He kept asking his underlings, have we started spying yet? Have we started spying yet? When could we start spying on Trump? Are the phones tapped yet? What a sicko. Also, Comey's people told his people, don't put anything in writing. It's only going to get us in trouble. So the media loves to say, well, you know, this is just the FBI. This is just the Department of Justice. What they never tell you is this is the Obama administration preventing investigations into Hillary and greenlighting fake and illegal investigations into Donald Trump. But Barack Obama gets out there and he lies to us about the whole thing.
I can guarantee that not because I give Attorney General Lynch a directive. That is institutionally how we have always operated. I do not talk to the Attorney General about pending investigations. I do not talk to FBI directors about pending investigations. We have a strict line and always have maintained it. I guarantee that there is no political influence in any investigation conducted by the Justice Department or the FBI, not just in this case, but in any case.
So Barack Obama gets briefed by the CIA director with the FBI director on pending investigations into his political opponents. And then he just tells Fox, no, he just lies to Fox.
He just lies. That's what he does. Somebody send Jesse America Under Attack. He sounded pretty good last night. You know, and you hear some of these clips from Jesse, and it makes you think, boy, we could use Tucker's voice right about now as well. The lies are being exposed, fully exposed. And that's really what I've emphasized on this program so often, because my father has said, you know, it's God's purpose that this be exposed. As to who will finally be held to account, you know, you can only imagine the shakeup, the firings, the appointments that will happen when Donald Trump returns to power. And if Congress could get the courage to defund these agencies, they do have some power. And there's also some pretty good evidence that the Supreme Court is beginning to push back hard on the deep state and all of the rules and the regulations and the power that they have. Steve Bannon's been reporting on that. I haven't followed some of the stories or cases as closely. This is from Technofog. Travis Miller's his name. He says the FBI and DOJ restricted two investigations into Hillary Clinton during the 2016 election. The Clinton Foundation investigation, illegal foreign contributions to the Clinton campaign. No investigative activities occurred for months. So they were restricting those investigations even as they were expanding this fake, bogus investigation into Donald Trump. That's the way the deep state works. It's been thoroughly weaponized by communists. So they go after their enemies. It says Crossfire Hurricane was opened as a full investigation. Yet days after it was opened, Peter Strzok was essentially telling a London FBI employee, there's nothing to this. They all admitted it openly. And even now, after being exposed, I mean, there's many of them that are still all but celebrating. Yeah, okay, so you got your Durham report, but, you know, none of us are in prison. We put your people in prison. You got Joe Scarborough practically cheering this morning as he talked about, there's nothing new in this report. It's just going to give a few Republicans a few talking points. Well, it's devastating, as Tapper pointed out. It's devastating for the FBI. It exposes the FBI. You wonder how to me, it seems like it would undermine Jack Smith's investigation. And it shows, I mean, with the Mar-a-Lago raid, everything is about get Trump. Everything flows through that prism. Get Trump. And so Jack Smith, as he goes after Trump on what, documents? You've already seen the fake rape case? People know. How does this, leave aside whether or not there should be 12, 15 indictments. There should be. Brennan should be in prison, if for nothing else, for lying under oath to Congress. That's a felony. But then he created this hoax. He's a traitor. And so is Obama. It's all part of the fundamental transformation. Leave aside the lack of indictments, though. How can this not help Donald Trump politically? As people look at this travesty of justice, it's shocking. Stunning. We say two-tiered system of justice. It's really just on the one tier. Get Trump and protect your own. That's the responsibility of the FBI. And you know, as I heard someone else say earlier today, all of those in the early months, Hannity and others were like, it's just, you know, just Jim Comey. He's the bad guy. But everybody, the rank and file, you know, the rank and file, they're as pure as the driven snow. Well, you see all of this corruption. There's got to be a lot of top-to-bottom sickness here. I'm not saying every field agent, FBI agent, is a crook. But look at how many bad cops are at work. Peter Strzok revealing behind the scenes. There's nothing to this. But they kept it going. And okay, he's one of a few that at least got fired. But then he gets hired by the talking heads in the media, the regime media. Listen to Jesse Waters, his exchange with Josh Hawley, again, to just emphasize this point about what might, could be done if Congress would step up and use its power, what the Constitution gives it, This is clip four.
If there's something like this in American history, I don't know what it is. And that's why I say there needs to be prosecutions, there needs to be accountability, and the FBI has got to be overhauled now top to bottom. It's got to be completely reformed. It cannot go on like it is.
What'd you think of when you saw Barack Obama tell Fox, "We don't do anything corrupt. I don't know about pending investigations. I don't even talk to people about pending." Meanwhile, you have Durham saying he was briefed on the whole thing while it was happening.
Yeah, it just is one more example of the Democrats and, frankly, the political class in Washington saying anything they want, telling any lie they want to try to maintain their power. He knew, Obama knew, that Hillary was trying to frame Trump, essentially. He knew that they were cooking this up and trying to weaponize the FBI, and he knew it was succeeding, and he went out and he lied about it. All these people lied about it.
Senator,
the worst part, Jesse.
He's acting like he's not a part. Obama's acting like he's not a part of the Obama administration. It was his Justice Department.
Yeah, exactly.
It was his CIA.
It was.
It was his FBI. It's like Biden all of a sudden has no connection to the Biden family. Everybody can bribe the Biden family. It has nothing to do with Joe Biden. Are we getting to the point now, Senator, where the FBI and the CIA are just more powerful than the American democracy?
Here's the, as I say, the real threat to democracy. And Jesse staying on point with not just Obama, but with Biden as well. I remember the clip a few years ago. President Trump, he was still president. He was in transit somewhere, and he stopped to tell a reporter that, look, they've been caught. They've been exposed. They're guilty. Trump, all along, he was calling it a witch hunt. He was right. He was right. All the way through, he called it what it was from the very beginning. But how do you fix this? This was Mark Levin last night talking about this deep state corruption, clip five.
At every step of the way, this FBI ignored evidence, did not get corroborating evidence, had no evidence, did everything it could to protect Hillary Clinton, and did everything it could to destroy Donald Trump. It falsified information. They were told not to take notes. They had no basis whatsoever for unleashing their investigation. This country went through this for over 2 years. It sparked the Mueller investigation. And Donald Trump is a victim, and he's the greatest victim in American political history. And here's the problem, America. This same FBI edifice is in place right now.
And it's really much worse. It's even worse. I mean, what Durham's revealing is the corruption that was there in the last year of Obama's second term, 2016, 2017. We're in 2023. Now they're throwing fake rape cases, even changing laws in New York to try to take out Trump. Now they're trying to take him out for another phone call in Georgia. And now they're going to try to take him out, Jack Smith is, because he moved a box? He moved a few boxes around when he had the presidential authority and power to declassify anything he wanted to? The deep state, as I say, is deep. It's deep. The edifice is still in place. It still has power. It has more power. And it's still being run by Barack Hussein Obama. He's just down the street from the White House. First ex-president in what, more than 100 years? That set up shop in D.C. after his second term ended. We've got more to get to on this in the second segment, but I want to make sure I save time for a really fine News of the Work segment after this next promo. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Graduation weekend is one of the highlights of every Herbert W. Armstrong College student's life. It represents the culmination of 2 or 4 years of hard work, study, and living the abundant life. This year, 14 seniors and 18 sophomores joined the ranks of AC grads on May 14th. Graduation brunch was held on the morning of graduation in Edmond. Students enjoyed a delicious variety of foods while spending time with their families and the faculty. For some international graduates, graduation weekend is the first time they have seen their families in years, so grad brunch is a wonderful way for them to celebrate with their family members during the busy grad weekend. As in past years, the graduation ceremony this year included both the Edmond and Edstone campuses, since some seniors graduated in England instead of returning to headquarters. In Edmond, faculty and graduates entered the auditorium during the processional, played by the Armstrong Youth Orchestra. After the invocation and welcome address by Assistant Dean of Students Brad McDonald, the student body president, Isaac Lorenz, delivered a student address.
The 32 graduates that will soon join me on this stage to receive our diplomas have all been influenced by a mother that lived thousands of years ago. The legacy of Armstrong College dates all the way back to Samuel the Prophet and the schools that he established. Those schools form the blueprint for the education that we receive over the past 2 to 4 years here at this college.
After the Armstrong Youth Chorus, Armstrong Chamber Choir, and Armstrong Youth Orchestra performed 2 choral pieces, President and Edmond Dean of Students Stephen Fleury delivered the commencement address.
You have a responsibility, just going back to the second sphere, you know, you've got the college sphere and you've got the family sphere, but you have a responsibility to go on and to build a family for God and to build the family of God. This is a vision as Amos 9, the last few verses, brings out. It's a vision that stretches right into God's kingdom.
The Herbert W. Armstrong Achievement Award was handed out to students who exemplified the AC standard.
The first HWA Achievement Award this afternoon goes to Brandy Smith. The second HWA Achievement Award this afternoon goes to Mihailo Zekic, but we call him Simon. The third HWA Achievement Award this afternoon goes to Zoe Hilliker. The final award today goes to the Armstrong College Student Body President, Mr. Isaac Lorenz.
Then graduates in both Edmond and Edstone receive their diplomas.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join the Herbert W. Armstrong College faculty and administration in saluting our future, the senior class of 2023.
After the ceremony, members and visitors convened in the Armstrong Auditorium lobby to congratulate the graduates on their accomplishments. Graduation is an end. But for these graduating students, it is also a beginning. Some graduates will remain in Edmond to support the work directly, while others will return home and support the work from the field. Wherever they go, their AC training will give them a solid basis for their future success. To learn more about the work of the Philadelphia Church of God, please visit pcg.church.
The Trumpet Daily.
The Department of Justice and the FBI are solely owned by the Democratic Party and their propaganda machine. And this Durham report ought to scare the living out of everyone, because think about this. It's only gotten worse since this time period. We're talking about 2016 and 2017 and 2018. This changed the course of human history. It changed the course of our elections. Remember, we had to sit through year after year after year of this nonsense of Trump and Republicans having something to do with Russia. Chris, even to this day, you have lunatics that say that every single day. So the Department of Justice, the FBI, congratulations, you scumbags. You have successfully poisoned the minds of millions of Americans, while at the same time, you're going to have half of America, including myself, who doesn't trust anything the Department of Justice or the FBI have to say.
That's Devin Nunes yesterday on, I think it's Newsmax. But he, of course, used to be in the House. He was one of the first to recognize that this was a hoax. Came out with the Nunes memo. He was attacked for it. They tried to smear him. The liars, the communists. He points out how that it's just so much worse today than it was then. And look at how divided and how polarized the United States is. Thanks in large part to Barack Hussein Obama, the divider in chief. He's the one that ran with it. If the hoax, if the idea for the hoax was started by the Hillary Clinton people, well, Obama's the one that used it and then weaponized or used the entirety of the federal government as a weapon against Donald Trump. Let's go back to that summer of 2016. Actually, this is an interview, Jake Sullivan. And that's another part of this story as well, as so many of the actors that were there in place, the good communists that were there orchestrating the hoax and the attack in 2016 and 17, they reappeared as soon as Biden was installed. This is Sullivan, though, in 2017. He's giving an interview to Frontline, and he's explaining some of the events and the thinking, the reasoning of the Clinton people in the spring and in the summer of 2016, clip 11.
As soon as the DNC material landed on WikiLeaks, we were convinced inside the campaign that this was the Russians taking the game to a whole new level, that they had gone into the DNC, gotten this material, and now were disseminating it with the express purpose of harming Hillary Clinton and, by doing so, helping Donald Trump. This was a moment where we realized that the Russians had decided that they were going to actively interfere in the U.S. election, that they were going to intensively work to undermine the pillars of U.S. democracy. After the Russian leak on WikiLeaks, the documents from the DNC splashed across the front pages of newspapers everywhere, we arrived at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, and Jennifer Palmieri, who was the campaign's communications director, and I went to each of the major networks, all five of them, and went from network to network, who each had tents around the center where the convention was taking place. And we rode in a golf cart from tent to tent, and we spent an hour with each of the networks laying out in a sober and systematic way our view that this was a Russian intelligence operation and that our democracy was under attack, and that this was not a political issue, but a national security issue and should be treated as such. Some members of the press began to come around, but there was general skepticism of the campaign's line on what was happening here with the Russians throughout most of the summer and fall. And we just tried to shout louder and marshal more evidence and push the story any which way we could, but we were having a really hard time getting traction.
Marshal more evidence. John Durham's report: neither U.S. law enforcement nor the intelligence community appears to have possessed any actual evidence of collusion in their holdings at the commencement of Crossfire Hurricane. There was nothing there. Jake Sullivan, he talks about it so sobering and systematic, what the Russians were doing. We were convinced. That's when we realized that the Russians were trying to help Donald Trump. John Brennan briefed Obama on July 28, 2016, and said, yeah, the Clinton people have this idea to smear Trump on a Russia collusion hoax. And Obama took it and ran with it, didn't he? He was the one behind the plot. Peter Strzok, he texted Lisa Page on September 2nd, 2016, Crossfire Hurricane's already in motion. He said that POTUS wants to know everything that we're doing. That's the President of the United States. He wants to know everything that we're doing. You know, the one that doesn't meddle in the intelligence or investigation communities. He just goes on Fox, like Jesse Waters pointed out last night, and lies. He just lies. He's talking, at this time he was talking about, well, I guess the election hadn't quite happened. As soon as the election happens, he goes and talks about a peaceful transition. August 5th, 2016, Strzok says the White House is running this. The White House is running the investigation into Trump. Then if you, again, fast forward a little bit to after the election in November of 2016, you had this from December 9th, 2016. The Washington Post said, secret CIA assessment says Russia was trying to help Trump win the White House. CIA, remember, Brennan's over the CIA. Brennan goes to Obama in July, says, you know, this is a false narrative. This is how the Clinton camp is trying to smear Trump. Then the election happens, Donald Trump shocks the world, and then Brennan's CIA has this secret assessment that, you know what, the Russians actually did help Trump to win. On that same day, Obama orders a full review of Russian election hacking. This intel assessment, Obama ordered it. You can see that in the New York Times and the Washington Post as well. He got the secret assessment from John Brennan. And then Obama says, hey, we've got to make this an official investigation into Russian interference. And they came out just weeks later. It was the fastest moving investigation ever, certainly for the federal government. They had to have it all done in time before Donald Trump took office so that they could then brief Donald Trump about, hey, Russian interference and so on. And then, of course, you tag on the dirty dossier. And then you get Clapper for his part. I mean, Comey, he's the corrupt rogue cop at the top of the FBI. Then you've got Brennan over the CIA. And then Clapper, the DNI, for his part, he's got to be there leaking to Jake Tapper. Listen to Barack Obama. He unleashes this intel assessment in December, December 9th. Well, let me read this first from the New York Times, December 11th. It says, in Mr. Trump, the Russians had reason to see a malleable political novice, one who had surrounded himself with Kremlin lackeys. That's the New York Times editorial board, December 11th. I mean, this is treasonous as well. How many the criminals are all around. Lots of people should be in prison. It says here, at the urging of Democratic lawmakers, President Obama has asked the Director of National Intelligence, that would be Clapper, to conduct a full review of Russia's hidden hand in the election, the White House announced on Friday. The inquiry, which is to be completed before Mr. Trump is sworn in on January 20, is an important if belated step. We got to hurry and complete this before Trump takes office. Because this is how we can really get it to stick. And again, I'm running out of time. I can't get into all the details after the fact. Comey setting up the Trump administration and then basically ensuring that the Mueller investigation would start later that summer in 2017. But let me just back up to the end of December. Here again, listen to the smooth-sounding words of the dear leader. This is right just weeks before he left office, clip 13.
At the beginning of the summer, we're alerted to the possibility that the DNC has been hacked. And I immediately order law enforcement, as well as our intelligence teams, to find out everything about it, investigate it thoroughly.
Investigate it thoroughly. So serious. Russian interference, right? Here again is Obama from December of 2016, number 14.
One thing that I have done is to be pretty scrupulous about not wading into investigation decisions or prosecution decisions or decisions not to prosecute. I have tried to be really strict in my own behavior about preserving the independence of law enforcement, free from my own judgments and political assessments in some cases. And I don't know why I would stop now.
The man just blatantly lies as a matter of routine. That same spirit, it's even stronger today than it was in 2016. It's that same spirit that's running the show at the DOJ, at the FBI. They've been fully exposed. They've been fully exposed by this Durham report and other things too. We knew, again, a fair bit of this just because of some of the trials that went on for those people that Durham tried to prosecute, the two individuals. I guess it was a plea deal for the third one. That's about the extent of it, just three low-level people. There should be more convictions, for sure. But all of the criminal activity and behavior, it's laid out in a stunning amount of detail in Durham's report. Listen to Sean Davis's take. Well, maybe I have time to play Levin first. This is number six.
Then when it comes to the FBI is no good. It's gone rogue. It won't even submit to oversight. We have a whistleblower who says there's a document in the FBI that says that Joe Biden took bribes. That's the president of the United States, for God's sakes. Now, if the bureaucracy, if it were Donald Trump as president, the bureaucracy would leak it, right? Just like they leaked his tax returns. But in this case, you cannot allow a director of the FBI who's not even in the Constitution, who's not subject to votes by the American people, to say, I've got sources and methods. Yeah, we got your sources and methods here too, pal. Here's the report. And your sources and methods are corrupt. Your sources and methods violate the Constitution.
America under attack. 10 years old, this book that we've been producing since 2013. Let's finish with Sean Davis. He works at The Federalist, and he said on one of the talk shows last night, clip 7.
And what happened here was our own government, our own federal law enforcement agency, perpetrated a hoax directed at conning and gaslighting the American people. And I think the most important thing you can gather from this report is that the FBI is a domestic terror organization. They use their power, they use their influence to try and lie, try to gaslight the American people, to try and rig an election. And I have a hard time looking at this and coming to any other conclusion than that the FBI has to be defunded, because this wasn't one or two rogue agents. This happened from the very top. This was directed from the very top all the way down, and it was a lie and a coup against our government, against our democracy, a term Democrats love to use, perpetrated by our own government.
From the very top, he stresses. My father wrote an article back in February 14th, 2022. You can get to this at the website. But he says here, only one person had the necessary ring of powerful accomplices in the government and in the media. Only one person had and has the unassailable pride and tyrannical power to accomplish this ongoing treason against the United States of America. He must be named. That man is Barack Obama. He's named in this book as well. Make sure if you haven't received your free copy, there is no cost, no obligation. Just call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. and we'll see you again tomorrow.